markers today in my sermon. Sorry. Okay. Now I'm ready. When you see a sign that says, beware of dog, what do you do with that sign? That's information that gives you some knowledge, certainly, but also it gives you something to do, some action to take. You know, you shouldn't step into that yard without the knowledge of the owner, otherwise you may get it. I was in Tennessee for my vacation recently, and they have signs all over the place about bears. Don't feed the bears. Watch out for the bears. Not that the bears are necessarily super dangerous, but it could be a problem if they become aggressive with you. So they have signs giving you information. What to do then with that knowledge? And this is the kind of sign that Jesus gives us in our gospel reading. Beware, watch out for false prophets. Much like a dog that is untrained or aggressive, or a wild animal like a bear, he says these false prophets are dangerous, not to your bodies, to your earthly well-being, but to your souls. Jesus says, beware. Knowing this, Jesus giving this warning, we understand that therefore there will be false prophets. There will be people who teach wrongly. That's important for us to understand. But we know that also Jesus tells us, because we can beware of them, watch out for them, that they will be judged and observed. We have the ability to detect false prophets and false teaching. And Jesus says, I will bring judgment to them and preserve you and take care of you, even when these hostile dangers come. So our text, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now, the context of this, these verses is pretty important. Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount. So he spends many long time, whole day, and many chapters of the Gospels giving the correct teaching. He gives the teaching of the kingdom of God that has come from heaven, and the perfect teaching that comes from Jesus. He speaks about how we are blessed and how good things come to us through faith and all those things that Jesus teaches. But it's important too, all those, that positive thing, here's the good thing, here's the correct thing. Jesus also gives a warning that the bad things will come too, the wrong teachings. Wherever there is a correct teaching, the devil sends his ferocious wolves to devour and to seek to destroy souls. If the gospel in its truth brings life, then a false gospel brings death. Jesus warns about false prophets. Maybe we should be reminded, what does it mean to be a prophet? The idea of prophets is very common in the Old Testament. You might think of prophets often foretelling the future. That sometimes is the case. But it's not only that. A prophet is one who is sent by God to bring a word to his people. Moses was a prophet sent by God. God spoke to him directly. The prophet Jeremiah, whose book we read from as well, he was a prophet who God gave words to speak. Sometimes the prophets bring words of warning about sin and judgment because of the sin of the people. And the prophets also foretold that one would come after them, a prophet who would become the savior of all, the final prophet, which is Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have prophets in the same exact way speaking to us directly, speaking to a human being directly. But we have people who proclaim God's word. Anyone who is a preacher is certainly a prophet in the sense of bringing God's word to people and telling and teaching people about God's word. And any Christian might become a prophet when they teach another about the word of God rightly. Now, false prophets appear too in the Old Testament, for example. And I think that when Jesus was teaching people, when he warns about false prophets, it's very likely that the people he was teaching would think of Jeremiah, which we read from in the Old Testament reading. A lot of them would be familiar with the Greek version of the Old Testament at the time of Jesus. And in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the same word is used really only in Jeremiah for the most part, describing these false prophets that at the time of the prophet Jeremiah, they were common. They were all over the place. They were telling people, everything is going to be fine. Don't worry about destruction coming. Don't worry about being faithful to the true worship of God. The kings of Jeremiah's day were unfaithful. They were idolaters. And this influenced many people in the nation too. And when Jeremiah came with a word of warning and said, God is going to bring destruction because of your sin, they didn't want to hear it. The false prophets persecuted Jeremiah and tried to kill him and killed other true prophets, if you read in the book of Jeremiah. The reason that these false prophets were so appealing to the king and to others at the time, one example is, what kind of message was Jeremiah bringing from God? Kind of not the message you want to hear sometimes. So, for example, Jeremiah was sent to bring this kind of message. Early is from Jeremiah 27. Early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me, make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone who I please. Now I will hand over all your countries over to my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes. Then many nations and many great kings will subjugate him. And so that's just a sample of the kind of message that Jeremiah was bringing. He was going to say that your nation, the land of Judah, was going to serve another king. And this was part of judgment because of sin. So when the false prophets come and they sell the king, everything is going to be great. You don't have to worry about judgment. You're going to be victorious in battle, and everything is going to go fine for you. The kings were very much pleased to hear this kind of message. That gives us an example, I think, of the type of false prophet that you might encounter in your life. Someone who says, don't worry about your sin. Maybe you have some sin that you're dealing with, or some cultural thing that everyone says is fine, whatever it is. They say, don't worry about sin so much. They're just little mistakes that we make. God doesn't really care that much about them. That's one example of the type of teaching that can be devouring of soul. Because God has sent his word. Jesus has come and told us that sin is serious. It was so serious that he gave his life for us. Jesus came to sacrifice himself on the cross because God takes sin seriously and doesn't just pass it over as though it's nothing. So the other kind of false prophet that you might hear is one who doesn't know anything about the gospel at all, that really only focuses on the law and what God says you must do, and says you are not good enough and you must do this and that better. It's another example of the type of false prophet you may encounter in your life too. Jesus describes these false prophets as wolves in sheep's clothing. We're familiar with that phrase. It comes from the Bible. That they appear to be like us. You know, they appear to be something that is good and friendly, but inwardly they seek to devour. This is really important in this in this passage. If you talk about false prophets, it would be easy to look at false teachings that are in the world, that are non-Christian religions. Okay, those are false prophets too. Jesus isn't really talking about them right now. It would be easy for us, for example, as Lutherans, to look at another church body and say, well, there's some false teaching. That's not really what Jesus is talking about either in this case. That's the time for that, but not this time. Jesus says, watch out for those who are in your flock. Jesus gives us a warning. It's important for us to understand that we don't measure a teacher or a teaching based on its name. You know, if it says Lutheran on it, it's good. That's not necessarily the case. Or if it says Christian on it in general, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. Jesus says that there will come teachers who come to destroy you because they will want to be like you. They want to seem good on the outside. Our judgment is not just on, well, if I'm wearing the right clothes up in church even, or if I have the title, I'm on the roster of the Wisconsin Synod, that means I couldn't possibly be a false teacher. No, Jesus says, watch out for those who come to you in wolves, as wolves in sheep's clothing. A question kind of arose in my mind, maybe it arose in yours. Why does God allow such false prophets to go out into the world? Why did God allow the kings of Israel to be troubled by these false prophets? And why do we have to be wary and watch out for always seek to measure our teachers today against God's word? Well, scripture speaks of that in many cases. One reason is as a test. So Moses tells the Israelites in Deuteronomy, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. So he says, even if someone seems really impressive, maybe even false prophets can do some kind of wonder that you are not expecting. But the judgment is not on their deeds, it's on their teaching. Moses says if they're saying follow other gods, that means that they are a false prophet. He says God sent them to test you. Another example from 1 Corinthians 11, he says, and he's speaking about worship practices in 1 Corinthians, especially about the Lord's Supper. And he says, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. Sometimes God allows, as a test, false prophets to come so that we can be shown clearly to be having the true faith. If there was never any problem, how could we know whether we have the right faith or not, unless there is something to compare it to? So even though these false prophets are and false teachers that come are certainly not on God's side, certainly they are more similar to the devil, who is a ferocious lion seeking to devour him. Yet God allows them to as a blessing to us, so we can be tested and found authentically true in the one faith in Jesus Christ. We are given an instruction to do actions for this. One last Bible passage, 1 John 4. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This brings us to the portion of Jesus' message. He gives us a warning, but now he also gives us an instruction to act. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. This is really important because I think a lot of you maybe have an idea that you just don't know enough to be able to judge false teaching from true teaching. You maybe think to yourself, well, if a pastor is saying something, surely he's right. He went to seminary. He's very educated. So I can't judge, even though maybe you heard something that didn't seem quite right. Well, Jesus says he gives authority to the sheep to judge their shepherd. He gives authority and ability to discern truth from falsehood. He says, you will know them by their fruits. There's some discussion. What is the fruit that Jesus is talking about? But on the one hand, you could say the fruit is the outward life of a person. And you see by their actions and their deeds that they are from God. But it's also true that there have been false prophets that have very good lives that outwardly seem very upright and pious, and yet they teach a false teaching. And really, the main fruit that you want to identify is what someone teaches. You can know falsehood from truth because you have been given the Holy Spirit to discern. You have truth outside of a teacher in the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is true and inspired and inerrant. And so it has been given to you to be able to judge someone like me, for example, and compare what the Bible says to what I say in a sermon or in a Bible study. Jesus says this is what you must do. It's important to understand, too, that the responsibility for everyone for their faith really is on themselves. It's all the more important, then, that you continue to study the Word yourself. It's really good to come to Bible study and to learn, obviously, to come to church and hear. But it's also important for you to know what the word says for yourself. Because when judgment day comes, you are the one who will be judged by your faith in Jesus. And if some destruction has happened, if you are distracted from the truth in some way, it will be you who is judged, not the false teacher who taught you, although he will be judged too. For that reason, I encourage all of you always, and I do my best to equip you to know the Bible. That's really the important thing about this. If you want to know what is wrong and false in someone's teaching, you must first know what is true. Study the truth of Scripture. Study what Jesus has said to you. This is where our eternal life comes from. The eternal life that Jesus has won for us in his life and his innocent suffering and death on the cross and in his resurrection. If any of those points are in dispute by a teacher, then you can know that that teacher is false. Jesus watches out for us as well. Jesus says, I see the false teachers that have gone out into the world, and they do not get away with anything. They are going to be judged. Jesus says, kind of a scary thing for someone like me in a teaching role. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus tells us that the outward things are not the judgment that he makes. The things that seem good on the outside are not what we point to for our salvation. A teacher can say, well, look at all these good things I did. Jesus can still say, if you are not really following the word of my Father, if you did not truly have a heart that was made alive through faith, then none of that really matters. So often what we see, when Jesus talks in other places about judgment day, the ones who are judged righteous know nothing about their own good deeds. It is the ones who are false believers or who are unbelievers who say, look at all these good things I did. And Jesus, and the ones who are judged righteous say, when did I do anything good for you, Lord? We are expecting a righteous judgment through faith in Jesus only, not in what we've done, not in the good things we've done. A pastor, for example, is not going to be judged on how many people he brings into the church or how many baptisms he performs or something like that. All of that is the work of Christ. Any teacher, like any other Christian, is going to be judged on the basis of faith in Christ. The last encouragement in this sermon today is for all of you to be reminded to be diligent in studying, to be watching out always for false teachers, and for you to grow and to know the Word of God, because it's only in that Word that we have the hope of life for eternity, and it's in that Word that we can judge all things in the world, as God has given us authority as his chosen people, as his nation of priests, to remember that it is only by the authority of the word that you can listen to me at all. That's a really important thing too. Don't believe me just because I got special clothes on or because I went to seminary. Believe what I say to you because it's the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.